Okay, we are in, we add here, chapter, I don't even know the chapter, because we've been in a certain chapter for the whole time here now, and so we're on a page number now, 208, paragraph 1. The title is, and I've always been a firm believer in this, even when I was a little kid, I understand the wisdom behind it. Because I couldn't grasp certain things in schools, and I saw some, especially the girls. You know how girls mature quicker than boys. And I couldn't understand how these little girls could figure out these math problems so easily, and I couldn't handle it at all when I was 10, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or whatever. Well, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, I started school at age 6. I didn't do the kindergarten thing. I don't think it was invented yet. But it's titled Dangers in Sending Children to School Too Young, and it's we're in Councils for the Church, page 208. I think we're going to be in this book for a while. I don't know when it ends. Ooh, let me get this out of the way here real quick. Mess with that later. All right, it says, as the dwellers in Eden learned from nature's pages, as Moses discerned God's handwriting on the Arabian plains and mountains, and the child Jesus on the hillsides of Nazareth, so the children of today may learn of him. The unseen is illustrated by the seen. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, that there's no faith, especially in America. Children are taught. I saw an article. I posted this on the site maybe a couple, three, 4 months ago. I think it's on my Homeschool Spurs page. But it's... what was it? It was... something about how the children, that's what it was. By the time Christian children get into their first year of college, maybe their second year, I think he said, sophomore year of college, by that time, they become atheist. Christian children. Because of the way the school system is designed so that by the time you make it into college, yeah, they lock it down on you. And, it's all because the people that are training the children don't love the children, and they have an agenda. The government has an agenda. It's like Hitler said, give me control of the textbooks, and we'll have control of the nation in, I think he said, 10 years or something like that. I paraphrase the daylights out of that. Anyway, she goes on. She says, so far as possible, let the child from his earliest years be placed where his wonderful lesson book shall be open before him. And, again, that's where I realized when I was a child, I loved summer vacation. You know, for 3 months, you didn't have anything to do but just grow and have a blast, get on your bike and take off and just, you know, no schoolwork, nothing. And I think in the late 60s, they started talking about, would you like to go to summer school? And I, you know, first time I ever heard it, I just laughed out loud. You guys said, you got to be kidding. It's all I could do to get out of this school, and you want me to go back in during my vacation time? Forget you. And so, I understand how, especially when I get into high school, and I had already gone through all the encyclopedias now, because I, you know, got those at the age of 10, fifth grade, begging and begging and begging my parents, because, again, we didn't have video games back then, right? There were a lot of books in the house, but it was all novels. My mom was an avid, you know, 7 to 9 books a week reader. And then when I finally got my driver's license, I found out just how avid she was because every week I had to take her to the library. And that's when I really, really, really got into doing research because it was, you know, I'm going to be in there for an hour, 2 hours. So I'm rather than just sit around and grow hair, I figured I'd just go through the microfiche or reference books, which you couldn't take out. They wouldn't let you take the reference books out of the library, which is understandable because those books are expensive and they're huge. So it's not like you just carry them around. And it was very interesting to me. And I hated history when I went to school because, and now I'm 17, 18, you know, and I'm still hating history in high school, but I liked it on my own terms because of the fact that I'll look up what the truth is on this. I don't need a teacher to give me their own personal Republican or Democratic opinion. And because that's usually how it's all based. And especially when I got into high school after reading all those history books about how the United States was formed, I knew okay, I'm just going to kick back and have a blast because these people are lying to me for some reason. I knew what they were saying was wrong about how this nation started. I knew they were erasing history books. I couldn't say nothing, you know, 16-year-old kid the first time I noticed it. But my summers, like your summers, all of our summers, I think we learned a lot more not being in school than we did going. And it always brings me back to the time, and I saw this on microfiche, you know, those old, and for those that don't know what microfiche is, I thought it was a computer because I got into computers really young. I mean, green screens is where I cut my teeth. I was writing code from DOS. I mean, I was machine language even. Yeah, you're talking, I wasn't binary, but that's pretty close to binary. And, but the thing is, it was, I didn't write a lot of code in there. I usually just copied it down because it's confusing. It's all numbers. But the thing is, when I saw that screen in the library and people sitting behind it, and I thought, oh, wow, that looks like a computer. And so I asked the librarian. She goes, no, it's microfiche. She called it microfilm, and some called it fish. I says, why fish? She says, well, you're fishing around. She gives me this little tiny square piece of film, and it looked black. And she goes, each little tiny square you see there is a complete newspaper, all spread out in one square. I says, how are you going to read that? I says, well, that's the reason for that machine over there. It's got a very high intense or high definition, we shouldn't say high definition, but very high magnification lens. And boy, was it good. I mean, one little microfiche, you could be there for a week just reading stuff. And I remember reading this story about how women were screaming and crying at the top of their lungs when the U.S. government was taking their children from their arms, their screaming arms, to get them to go to the school. Because the parents didn't want the kids to go to school. They wanted them to grow, like Sister White's saying here. She's probably going to say this here in a moment. But they took the kids when they were way too young. They should have let the kids have their childhood first. And then, and that's what I realized when I tried to do math. I couldn't figure out math. My brain hadn't connected those cells yet, you know? And so I couldn't figure out how, I mean, I could do two, and two plus two. But, you know, algebra and deep division and stuff, forget that noise. I couldn't handle it. Because, again, those brain cells hadn't been matured enough. They hadn't connected yet. And so I couldn't figure it out because there's no way you can. You don't have the tools to do it. So you're tagged stupid, right? Up until you get those, and then when you finally get those cells connected, all those years you'd be, you know, they call you stupid. So by the time you get to math again in high school, you figure, well, I can't do it. I never could. They always said I was stupid here, so I'm not even going to try. And then I found out when I started messing around with computers, I'm pretty good at math. But because I got into computers more than I did into what their opinions were. But yeah, she goes on to say here that do not send your little ones away to school too early. The mother should be careful how she trusts the molding of the infant mind to other hands. And that's what destroyed this nation. And this nation is destroyed. We know that. It's just, you know, rolling around, dying and breathing its last at this point. No one wants to admit it, but that's what's going on, prophetically speaking. And this is what their plans were because, as we know, just by looking at some of the old history books, the ones that weren't rewritten, and boy, if I could get a hold of some of that old microfiche and one of those machines, I'd have a field day with that, put all that stuff online. But the and I'm sure it's already online, but you got to try to find reputable sources, because even Ellen White's writings have been doctored on the Ellen White Estate, no less, website. And so the things that they have in these books show how the elite were attacking our nation, couldn't figure out how to destroy us because when this nation started, even though their theology was all whacked out of, you know, it's just messed up because of Roman Catholicism, and that was, of course, the main reason we came over is to, you know, our forefathers wanted to escape all the persecution of the popes killing people just because they wanted to be real Christians. And so they came here, right, you know, risked life and the limb on wooden boats like Mayflower. And then later on when I was in high school, they'd say, oh, no, they came here because of the taxation in England. I says, oh, please. They're going to risk your life over, you know, a percentage of less than 1% of tax raise. I had to laugh out loud for that, too, and I was only 16. But the thing is, that's what they did. We came over. Our nation started that way because of that, and so most of the people here in this nation were religious back then, and whenever the elite, like the Brits and you know, the Rothschilds, yeah, they were around back then too, and the Pope, because, you know, he was knocked off of his perch back in 1798. He was doing everything he can to get back on, even though he didn't know what the prophecies meant. Satan did, and he knew that wound was going to get healed. He knew what was going to go down in 1929. And so they did what they had to do to get to that point. And every time they attacked us, the Lord protected us because of our obedience. And someone came up with the idea, and we know who that was. His name starts with B and ends with Eelzebub. But he convinced the elite to attack the American people's faith. It's just like what they did, like you see in the scriptures. I can't remember. I think it was Samson. Or even with the Egyptians. They try to get out when the Red Sea was falling on them. Let's get out of here because their God fights for them. Everybody, they knew. It's just like with the people in our nation today. Even though they act like there's no such thing as God and all this other stuff, they know. They got the archives. They know what goes down. They know God protects his people, and this is one of the reasons they keep attacking the Christian faith. They're trying to bring it down to a point where there's no one going to have the power to stand firm in Christ. Because that scares the daylights out of them. Because the daylight has already left their hearts, so that scares the darkness even deeper into them. And so what they did is they invented Hollywood and Disneyland. And the rest is history, obviously. But the main thing was to get the kids out of the parents' hands early enough to where they can remove the opportunity of that which it says in Proverbs about train the child when he is young so that, you know, train up a child when he is young so that when he is old he will not depart. You know, I, of course, paraphrase that. But they knew the theology and the power behind that, and so they went to destroy it. And that's what she's getting at here about don't send your little ones away to school too early. The mother should be careful on how she trusts the molding of the infant mind to others, because those others don't love your child. And in a perfect world, we'd all be homeschooling the kids. Like if Fran and I knew the truth back then, when we had the children, we wouldn't even bring them to school. And you know when the kid's going to be old enough mentally. Thanks, Brother Dwayne. It's Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But you know around the time your child, like some kids, they mature pretty quick, some not so quick. Girls usually blow the doors off the guys. That's just obvious. Even a male chauvinist pig has to admit that. But the thing is, they... You know when your kid's ready to understand things, but letting them have, just living life, having a childhood. Oh, man. Yeah, because I really cherish those summers. Yeah, because, you know, my dad wasn't home all day, so there wasn't anybody to tell me what not to do, because if I can get out of the house early enough, Mom didn't have anything to say about anything I did. I snuck out of the house. So she says, parents ought to be the best teachers of their children until they have reached 8 or 10 years of age. Their schoolroom should be in the open air amid the flowers and birds and their textbook, The Treasure of Nature. Now, today, you kind of have to go with the homeschool thing because you're not going to find a school like that. It's just not going to happen, no matter how much money you dump into it. Like my dad thought it was right to go with the parochial thing and spend $1,500 a month per kid. But after he realized that he's going to have way too many kids, he pulled us out, and so we were, it was just the four oldest kids went to Catholic school, and I only had, you know, like first through fourth grade, and that was it. And I liked fourth grade because that nun was gentle. The other three, oh, they terrorized me to the point where I had nightmares, even years after I left the school. I went into the public school system at the age of 10. I completely understand having the schoolroom be the open air, you know, and just being out in nature. It's just amazing how much you can learn just crawling around on a prairie, talking to God and going, wow, how come there's so many colors on this caterpillar? You know, or why is this toad wanting to eat this grasshopper? I got a grasshopper in one hand, a toad in the other one, and it's just like the toad is licking its chops and the grasshopper is, you know, scared. And so she goes on, as fast as their minds can comprehend it, the parents should open before them God's great book of nature. These lessons given amid such surroundings will not soon be forgotten. Not only has the physical and mental health of children endangered by being sent to school at too early a period, but they have been the losers in a moral point of view, and that's big time today. I mean, look at the schools now. That's why I made the whole school spurs, the homeschool spurs page, and I hate updating it, even though I don't update it nowhere near as much as I do the other pages, because I don't get a lot of information. I never look for it. But this garbage comes across my desk every day when I'm doing my research. And I just did another article today. I put it on the Homeschool Spurs, and it's the biggest page on the site. And it's just links. 99% of that page is just links to articles and videos about some of the crazy things they're teaching in the schools. Everything from telling the children at a very early age that, a little boy's actually a girl in heart, and a little girl's actually a boy at heart. Especially the word tomboy now today means you should get a sex change operation. My wife was a tomboy, and she's by no means, because we all know tomboys. There were some that were, possessed and had that issue with the homosexuality, but that was far and few between. Very far. But that still doesn't warrant what they're doing in the schools today. And then you get the other thing with getting God out and making God look evil, and good is evil, evil's good today. And the schools are just plain disgusting. Even to the point now where, and this is what gets me is how, and you can see, because it's one government, well, in our nation, we're, even though we have three forms of government, you got the Democrats, you got the Republicans, and of course you got what Obama's doing with the shadow government. But the thing is, you have these, where was I going with this? It'll come back to me. But it is a mess out there, as we all know. She goes on to say that they have had opportunities to become acquainted with children who were uncultivated in their manners. They were thrown into the society of the coarse and rough, who lie, swear, steal, and deceive, and who delight to impart their knowledge of vice to those younger than themselves. And that's the society in the high schools, too. Because I remember, as we all do when you go to school, you're never going to meet anybody in the school that's going to be just like you. They're not going to have the same morals, and some of them are going to have better morals, and some are going to be just downright evil. Like some of the guys that I hung with, most of them are dead or in prison. And their lives were, because we were dysfunctional, but we still were pretty tight as a family. I've been to people's homes where, this is, how is this a family? It's just like you guys are all just acquaintances. It was really strange, and they were always fighting. Well, we were always fighting too, but it wasn't like this kind of fighting, knockdown dragouts. But and the house was filled. I mean, the walls were all holes and stuff, and just it was just bad. But that's how you see. When I look back at the high school, and then I look back a little earlier. Which is, in retrospect, my walking into the clubs and the bars. And I didn't actually go to clubs. I just hung out in bars that had pool tables. I saw the same society in the bars as I saw in the schools. It's a hodgepodge of different types of lifestyles that are not headed in the right direction. The overwhelming majority, anyway. And that's how the schools were. And it says, you throw a little kid into us, because that's what, I was a little goody two shoes. I come walking in, and everybody instantly hated me because I was a little goody two shoe. I didn't want to do this bad thing or that bad thing or say that bad thing or whatever. And you're going to get beat up, pushed around, stuff like that. And of course, until you, become a young man and start growing taller than the bullies, then of course, for some weird reason, they back off. But, it's always the way, though. They always pick on the little kids. And that's another thing, too, the bullying thing. Little kids today actually commit suicide. I never thought to commit suicide. I always thought to just ditch school. I wasn't going to go. But then I knew my parents would find out. And I'd rather deal with a couple of blows to the head and deal with what, my dad was going to put me through. I mean, he wasn't going to beat me or nothing, but the man scared me. I mean, he's my dad, But it's so, it's like a whole different society, but it's all of uneducated, immature, unable to think properly humans. Small people, children. And, or I like to call them small humans. And just goofing around, but they shouldn't be allowed to be alone. And I'm not saying we have some kind of a socialist format where everybody has to stand in line with uniforms like they do in the Catholic, you know, schools. And you can't have any the cliques, no kids hang out together, even though they're going to do it anyway. I understand, you know, the importance of going into society. I mean, but I also understand getting away from it too, like John the Baptist or even Enoch going out and just hanging out in nature, and every now and then going into the cities. Enoch went in there to evangelize, and then of course John went in there for education on how to deal with people. So that when his time came, he went forth and did what he had to do. And then when Enoch's time came, well, he just left. Praise God. And because he was doing the work. And so the thing is, having the kids go into the schools, their life is in your hands. I mean, I don't know how many. Because I literally, if I had to sit down and try to think of all the kids that I knew and I grew up with that ended up dying because of the people they associated with, you know, everything from drugs or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time kind of thing. This is, you know, and it's all on the backs of our government. It's their fault. And they're going to have to deal with when an eastern sky splits. And that's all, you know, said and done. Of course, there's not much you can do about it. You can't dig these kids up. But the thing is, they're underground. That's the basic reality of it all. But everybody always looks the other way unless there's money to be had. I mean, have you ever noticed that? Like, take, for example, the AMA. How many people die at the hands of the AMA with their inept ability to decipher these chemical puddles they call humans, and to try to figure out this drug will work on you just as well as it does on that guy, and it won't, because we all have different chemicals, you know, that we have different, you know, levels of chemicals, if you will. And so people are dropping like flies, which is worse than I got it on the AMA page somewhere where it was two or three, I think it's cancer, car accidents, and suicide combined doesn't see as many deaths as the AMA sees by their mistakes. But yet, their wrists aren't slapped at all. So the priorities, you know, because if there's money involved, yeah, we all know who's in control there. See, that's one of the, well, you can't say beauties. I mean, it's one of the uglies of living in the last days. This is what we have to deal with as parents and as Christians. But she goes on, she says, young children, if left to themselves, learn the bad more readily than the good, because we all know the thing about the, you know, idle hands. She says, bad habits agree best with the natural heart, and the things which they see and hear in infancy and childhood are deeply imprinted upon their minds. And the bad seeds sown in their young hearts will take root and will become sharp thorns to wound the hearts of their parents. And I can attest to that, because we all can see how, you know, like some of the guys that I knew, like I said, when I was growing up, how they're, you know, gone or in prison, and their parents have literally gone through hell on earth because of it. And it was only because of some bad influence that they ran into in the schools. So this next one, see if we can get through this one, which means we're going to go over, we'll do 45 minutes, I guess, because this one's kind of big. This next one is titled, Importance of Training in Duties of Practical Life. And she says, now, as in the days of Israel, every youth should be instructed in the duties of practical life. Each should acquire a knowledge of some branch of manual labor by which, if need be, he may obtain a livelihood. This is essential, not only as a safeguard against the vicissitudes of life, but from its bearing upon physical, mental, and moral development. Various industries should be carried on in our schools. And see, that's another thing, too. Reading, writing, and arithmetic is the main thing. And, of course, history, because they want to manipulate the past, rewrite the history books, and give you a different mindset. So by the time you're 18 and old enough to vote, you're going to think this is how things should be, when, in fact, it's all fiction, you know. And so, but, yeah, you don't see trade schools in high schools. But unless, of course, you go to China or Japan, the way they train their kids. I mean, the USA used to be the place to be when it came to higher education. And some people still think it is. Unless you go to, like, and this even goes beyond the Ivy League. You know, unless you go to Yale or Harvard or that other one. I can't remember the other one. Unless you go to these political schools where they're going to train you political science, mostly that's where they're going to go for. I mean, they're going to have industry in there as well as science itself. so as to come up with inventions they can use in war instead of in peace. But the public school system, no, it's just to create drones. That's all it is. It's just designed to create people that'll vote. I mean, whoever's got the power at the time, and this is what also causes a lot of confusion as well, because we keep flip-flopping. Our nation just keeps flip-flopping every 4 to 8 years. Whatever president comes in, he changes things the way he wants them in a Republican flavor, and the next guy comes in and does it in a Democratic flavor. You know, it's always evil either way, but they always have these different agendas, and it just confuses the daylights because the schools all of a sudden, you can't teach that. Look what Trump's doing, for example. And this is why you saw what happened a couple of weeks ago in Kentucky, where that one governor says, oh, we're bringing the Bible back in. You couldn't say that at all for 16 straight years, especially during Obama's in Clinton times when they were pulling the Bible out, making it illegal. Now Trump wants to push it. Him and his cohorts are going to push the Bible back in, which is the worst thing you can do in the world because none of the teachers know what the Bible says. Let the parents teach the kids. If the parents are real Christians and understand that which is written, let them teach the children. That's the way it was for 6,000 years. But, you know, if they can manipulate, if they can legalize that, well then, yeah, the Mark of the Beast will enforce that much quicker. Because we know the Mark of the Beast is a religious law. It's every time you look at the word Mark of the Beast in Scripture, you see the word worship. So she goes on, various industries should be carried out in our schools. The industrial instruction given should include the keeping of accounts, carpentry, and all that is comprehended in farming. Preparation should be made for the teaching of blacksmithing, painting, shoemaking, and for cooking and baking, washing and mending, typewriting and printing. Now, in some high schools, like where I went, where my wife and I went, yeah, we had metal shop, wood shop. I did wood shop because I like messing with wood. And I tried the metal shop, and I thought, yeah, that's boring. It's not like I'm going to, you know, just go somewhere and pick up a chunk of metal and make something. I can go in the woods and pick up a log and go home and do something with it. But it just never made sense to me, unless I really, really seriously got into it. Because I know guys that got into it, and boy, did they do good. Like, this one guy was an artist. He made this rhinoceros out of just thin pieces of wire, and he put extra, he melted, welded wire onto the wire and smoothed it out. It was just beautiful. They look real. I'm sure now, and he was one of those quiet guys, that stare-at-the-wall kind of guy, wallflower. And in our class, he shined. He was the guy. And I'm sure that he made it well in life when it came to art. I can't remember his name, though. I couldn't get in a word of energize with this guy. I was just too talkative. He didn't want anything to do with me because that meant he would have to talk, and he wasn't. He was real, real shy, quiet. But yeah, you didn't see blacksmithing, painting, shoemaking, but you had home economics. I remember that back in I think the last year before I got kicked out of high school, they did have the economic thing, home economics, I think they called it, were cooking and baking, but washing, mending, typewriting, printing, no, none of that stuff. She says unless you go to a trade school, you know, and then you got to pay extra for that. She says why? It's because they can make the money. That's why. That's the only reason. She says, every power at our command is to be brought into this training work that students may go forth well-equipped for the duties of practical life. For the lady students, there are many employments which should be provided that they may have a comprehensive and practical education. They should be taught dressmaking and gardening. Flowers should be cultivated and strawberries planted. Thus, while being educated in useful labor, they will have healthful outdoor exercise. Amen. And then she says, the influence of the mind and the body, or the mind on the body, as well as of the body on the mind, should be emphasized. The electric power of the brain. And for those, and I love what she just said there, because they didn't figure this out. The electric power of the brain, I didn't realize it until I was, 11 or 12. And I'm sure many of you, if you're old, like in your 60s like I am, you're going to remember what I'm going to say here in a minute. But I think they recently discovered this in the modern age, as if they, like, all of a sudden we're all super intelligent because we figured this out. No one else in our past. Oh, please. I'm sure they knew about this thousands of years ago, but it was the Dark Ages did what it did. But the electric power of the brain. Have you ever walked in front of a radio or worse yet, a television? In the 1960s, with rabbit ears, because all the TVs had the rabbit ears. Right? I knew whenever I walked in front of this one radio in the kitchen, it would just, they'd just fuzz out real bad. And because that was on an antenna, too. It just had one single rabbit ear coming out. And the TV was the same thing. The TV had the Y, you know, the two rabbit ears. And we actually put tinfoil on them. Well, everybody did that, you know. It wasn't until we got UHF. Remember the round antenna? That's when all that fuzziness was going away. It was a different frequency. But the rabbit ears that they had on analog TV with the rabbit ears, I think, was similar. Wouldn't you think? I mean, I never really looked into it, but I'm just, I guess I would call it a hypothesis. But I'm just guessing here that it could have been on nearly the same wavelength as a human brain. Because when I walked in front of those TVs, sometimes it would just fuzz out, and just about anybody else, I would think too, because I can't be the only one that's ever experienced that. And I'm not saying I had superpowers or I had a demon or a poltergeist walking around. No, this was the norm, and because I've heard about it ever since too, you know, about the how a TV will mess up if you happen to walk in front of it at the right time or something. But she says the electric, in other words, we have electricity running through our system, all right? And that's one of the reasons people get a lot more healed, too. Have you ever heard of grounding? And I'm not talking about electrical grounding, although it is electrical grounding. And people have to do this a little bit more often than they realize, and I think, especially if you're sick, you might want to consider doing this, but you have to wait till it's warm outside. You don't want to do it when it's cold. Take your shoes and socks off and go outside and walk around, you know, because you ground yourself. You literally connect yourself with the planet. There's electricity running through this planet, and it's beneficial to human life. It helps to heal and stuff like that. You know, the soles of your feet touching bare earth, even with the grass and everything in between, especially with the grass, because the grass is alive. There is an electrical current, and if you don't believe me, take a zinc rod, if you could find one, and a copper rod, stick it, because I've done this. We did this in the backyard a couple of years ago here. Run it, you know, I don't go 10 feet apart and hook a copper wire between them, and then put a voltmeter on it. You'll get about a volt. You put a tree in between it, forget about it. You're over 5 volts now with one tree. And if you put the nails in the tree, then you might get up another volt. And I'm looking, okay, I figure I can run all the lights. If I went with LEDs, we could run all the lights in this house. If I just ran a post in the backyard, stuck it in the ground, ran a wire to every tree in that little miniature forest I have in the back, and just stuck that wire on every single one of those trees, and I would make it 10 feet off the ground so I wouldn't have to deal with me hitting it with my head all the time. So I'd put it up high enough to where it wouldn't bother us, and I'd run it back to the house, and I have no doubt I'd be over 500 volts. You put that into a battery bank and no problem. And this is one of the reasons you get healed up a little bit better by just using the electric power of the world to help the electric power of the brain. And by the way, you remember the telegraph back in the day, you know, the pony days, you know, the cowboy days? Every telephone pole, there's a reason they have a certain distance between them. It isn't because they wanted to save on wire or it would droop. No. They knew the voltage would drop if they went any further. And if they went any shorter, they were just wasting wire. Every pole, every telephone pole would have a wire running down the pole into the ground and then running back up and onto the other wire, because the current from the planet was giving the current for the telegraph. That's how they were able to send the signals. It was just beeping, you know, Morse code and stuff, but it was enough current to get to wherever it was going to go. Yeah, the static electricity proves that as well, too. You know, just the fact that we can hold a charge. We're walking capacitors. You can literally hold a charge. And if you don't believe me, walk around with your bare feet in your house on a rug if you got one. And then, you know, wait for your little brother or sister to come up and just touch their earlobe. You know, we did that for years, you know, especially in wintertime, because now there's hardly any humidity in the atmosphere. You know, if there's no humidity, it's going to dry it out better and hold the charge better. Or, you know, it'll discharge better because the moisture and the humidity, you know, breaks it down somewhat. And so, yeah, we'd zap each other or just grab a doorknob. You know, you zap yourself. But anyway, she goes on. The electric power of the brain promoted by mental activity vitalizes the whole system. and is thus an invaluable aid in resisting disease. So praise the Lord. Keep reading. you ever think of that too? Not only are you getting saved for eternal life by reading your Bibles, the education you get from your Heavenly Father causes an increase in your electrical activity in your brain, which makes you that much more resistant to disease. And so, there's benefits all over the place just reading the scriptures. So she goes on, there is a physiological truth, the truth that we need to consider in the scripture. A merry, or as she puts in brackets here, rejoicing heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17:22. Yeah, we hear that one guy. What was his name? Patches. He just called himself Patches. He was a doctor, and he actually started a different method of healing children back. Oh gosh, it was Adam Patches. That was his name. So his last name was. I guess he would have been called Dr. Patches. And the reason I think he dressed up like a clown and he would wear all these patches as well. He would take advantage of his own name. But he was a clown. I mean, he was a funny guy, but he was a doctor, a medical doctor. And he got a lot of guff from all of his, his comrades in the AMA and stuff like that for years because of his idea to, help heal people by making them laugh, by making them joyful, making them happy. Even if they're not going to laugh, give them something that gives them joy because it kicks it up a notch in the system. And not only did he ignore all their, comments and stuff like that, they couldn't shut him down. He continued on and went on with it. He ended up building a clinic to that end, to where that's what they do. Of course, he's dead and gone by now, but he literally did prove that, yeah, it does work. Just like the Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so anyway, she finishes here by saying, in order for children and youth to have health, cheerfulness, vivacity, and well-developed muscles and brains, they should be much in the open air and have well-regulated employment and amusement. Children and youth and amusement, she's not talking about watching these crazy sitcoms either. They didn't have TVs back then. Amusement, there's all sorts of nice ways of having amusement. There's, think on these things kind of amusement, not the garbage they put out there. So, yeah, I think it was Patch Adams. I think it was the other way around, yeah. Patch Adams, thanks. But anyway, children and youth who are kept at a school and confined to books cannot have sound physical constitutions. The exercise of the brain and study without corresponding physical exercise has a tendency to attract the blood to the brain. And the circulation of the blood through the system becomes unbalanced. The brain has too much blood, and the extremities too little. There should be rules. Isn't that neat, the way the Lord created this, by the way? Because I was just looking at that, and I'm thinking, okay, when you start using your brain, it's going to require more blood. Just trying to figure out how the brain works is bad enough. How can we even be sentient? How can we even think or even look in a mirror and look at ourselves and know it's ourselves because those two, ocular implants or eyeballs, as most people call them, in your skull connect directly to your brain and your brain tells you what that is in the mirror or the memories or how you educate and grow in education. And what makes you happy, what makes you sad, kind of a thing. It's a brain. It's a lump of gray matter. How our Creator does that blows my gray matter right out of my ears. I can't. Who can figure that? No. I mean, they mapped the human brain, and they're working with it, and they got games now that you could play just by using your brain. But they're messing with frequencies. That's all they can really go. And they could figure out, okay, this is where this frequency cultivate, this is where they'll think about this or this is where they'll think about it. It's all about thinking. But they can't get anywhere near as to figure out how it all works or how it's all created. And then when they get past that one, try to figure out how Tsetse Fly can do what he does. Something as small as that. It's got a brain or a fly, a house fly, or a caterpillar. I was just thinking about that today in the midday prayer, because I used to, you know, look for him when I was a little kid, and I'm sitting there going, okay, he's up there chomping on that leaf, and that's all he thinks about is this. Now, does it taste good to him when he's eating it? Does he know what he's doing? Does he know he's going to morph into a butterfly after he comes out of some cocoon that he just eats himself into? Or what of the toad? Or, and now here's the thing, and Fran and I were talking about this the other day. You know how the scientists are out there saying that goldfish don't have their memory can only last 3 minutes, 3 seconds? Because they did these experiments in a laboratory, and they found that the fish will remember something for 3 whole seconds and then completely forget. And they go, hey, that's your opinion, and that's your hypothesis. Why is it always that, like with evolution, that's all a hypothesis. That's all it is, educated guess, scientific guess. That's what hypothesis means. But a hypothesis to them is actually rock-hard science for some stupid reason. But I can prove their hypotheses about goldfish is a bold-faced lie. They don't understand it. I have goldfish. I go out and feed my goldfish every day. They're in that big trough that was here when we moved in. It's a cow trough filled with water. So to keep the mosquitoes away, put goldfish in there, right? That way we won't be making a mosquito factory, and it would be all green, slimy water you can actually walk on. So I put goldfish in there, right? Every time I walk up, if it's sunny enough, they see me. And the minute they see me, they start coming over to where I am, and some of them stick their little mouths out of the water expecting me to bring the food because they know what time of the day is. They remember. In other words, 24 hours ago, not 3 seconds, 24 hours ago I fed them. So they know that, okay, this is the time he comes. Or they hear my voice. Oh, that's the guy with the food. Or they see my form. Oh, that's the guy with the food. And so when I come, and I says, no, over here, guys, they literally will come over because I don't want to feed them by the rocks. So I got a bunch of rocks on one side because one of them got stuck in the rocks once, right? So I says, come on over here. They come over here. They all pile on where I'm at, and they stick their little mouths out of the water, and one of them sticks the mouth out of the water so far the little eyes are out. And these are, you know, good size. Some of them are 3 or 4 years old. They, you know, the thing freezes solid every year and then thaws out, and they come back to life. They just, you can freeze goldfish. Stick them in your fridge or a freezer. You know, you'll know what I mean. But they just fall asleep. You know, it's like hibernation. And so some of them literally, like years ago, I had one in a fish tank in the house. I would catch the fly, throw the fly against the wall, knock them out, take the fly and put it in the fish's mouth. And then he would keep his mouth out of the water until I tapped 3 times. I would have to go tap, tap, tap on the fly to get him deep into his mouth. His big fly, right? And so now, how is it 3 seconds ago he would have not remembered it? And so their hypothesis becomes rock-hard science. And that's what always ticked me off about the science of today, end-time science, as I call it. Because they're going to push it any way that's going to make the buck. And evolution made them a lot. So, going on, there should be rules regulating the studies of children and youth to certain hours. And then a portion of their time should be spent in physical labor. I think that's what they try to do in the schools, too, with physical ed or recess, which made sense. But, yeah, I don't even think they do that anymore. I don't know. I know they have lunch break. I don't know if they – I don't think they do recess anymore, but I know they have phys ed, like gym class. And it wasn't even every day, too. I remember when I was in high school, phys ed was like every other day or once a week or something. The only time I liked it is when we got to use the school pool, you know, the swimming pool. Anyway, and if their habits – of eating, dressing, and sleeping are in accordance with physical law, as like I think, who was it that mentioned, Sister Danielle, about mixing certain fabrics, and people think we're nuts or crazy because we don't eat unclean foods or we don't mix certain fabrics. Well, science just recently proved that if you mix wool and I think cotton or something, I you put those two, it's a chemical process that kind of hurts skin, human skin. It kind of messes with you and gets you sick. Oh, but they don't want to admit the Bible's right about, you know, not putting certain, you know, fabrics together. Wool and linen. That's, okay, is that what it is? So, I don't know. All I know is wool was one of them. But they think we're crazy. And says, okay, well, then explain that guy over there with that skin problem from, you know, wearing something you said wouldn't even hurt him. So, finishing. They're eating, the dressing, and sleeping are in accordance with physical law. They can obtain an education without sacrificing physical and mental health. So, amen and amen and amen. Hope and pray you were blessed. Deacon Neil, we'll finish in prayer. So wow, it was exactly 45 minutes, praise the Lord. Always surprises me when he does that, because I have no clue how long this is going to take when we get into this stuff. So praise his name. So please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being with us as we gathered. And please be with us all this entire Sabbath day. And for those that are on the other side of the world, thank you for blessing them. Their Sabbath is about to end. Ours is beginning. And thank you also for blessing us with an opportunity to come together tomorrow morning or afternoon, depending upon where we're at on this planet. And bless us with your presence again as we have your Holy Spirit changing the showbread for us once again. And thank you for blessing everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are sick physically or spiritually. And thank you again for that hedge of angels and the long-suffering you've had towards us for so many, many years. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King, and our Lord. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.